I was, you know, essentially running the company. I was president of the company and I was the founder and this was my baby. And I took great pride and a lot of self-esteem from being part of Exclusive Resorts and being the founder. And I found myself at odds with the billionaire. Essentially, he had one vision and I had a different vision. And safe to say, his vision won out.
That's how success happens. From Entrepreneur Magazine, my name is Robert Tuckman. I self-funded, built up, and eventually sold two businesses to major players in the sports and entertainment industry. And I am fascinated by other entrepreneurial minds and what drives high-achieving people. So on this podcast, we're going to learn what they've learned and what it takes to really succeed. We tend to associate inspiration with moving, positive experiences. We think inspiration should be transcendent, an explosion of joy, beauty, and awe. But sometimes inspiration strikes when we're just plain uncomfortable. That was Brent Handler's experience more than a decade ago, when he and his brother Brad took a much-anticipated vacation to Hawaii with their families. The Maui sunsets were breathtaking as promised. But Brent couldn't quite lose himself in the experience. He kept focusing on how cramped their accommodations were. They didn't have enough bedrooms for extended family or living space for hanging out. And there wasn't a kitchen to cook meals for the kids. Vacation is supposed to give us a break from the worries and constraints of everyday life so our minds can roam and recharge. But Brent's enjoyment was constricted by their limited space, and that's when he had his aha moment. In 2002, Brent and his brother Brad launched Exclusive Resorts and quickly became pioneers in the destination club industry. Then, in 2011, the Handler brothers launched Inspirato, a luxury travel club with an impressive roster of exclusive experiences and bespoke travel itineraries. Now, Inspirato offers a groundbreaking subscription model, which lets members pay a flat monthly rate for unlimited bookings at Inspirato's exclusive luxury properties around the world. I got to sit down with Brent while he was in New York City this past summer. Throughout his career, Brent has been recognized for spotting nascent consumer trends and either building them into successful businesses or transforming established industries. But I was sure there have been plenty of uncomfortable, challenging moments along the way. So that's where I started with Brent.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Really appreciate you taking the time to learn a bit about this story. I've had multiple challenges like most entrepreneurs. Some days you feel like everything is working perfectly and some days you feel like nothing's working at all and you're going to hit the brick wall.
Such a roller coaster ride.
100%. I know you have the same
yes.
You have the same scar tissue, but I'd say my biggest challenge was I had started a company called Exclusive Resorts with my brother and one other co-founder in 2002, and we brought on Steve Case to be our partner, and this really invented or created this modern-day concept of the Destination Club, and it was going great. We were selling these memberships. They were $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. We amassed a portfolio of over $1 billion worth of real estate. We had a fantastic affluent base. And then 2008 came.
Sure.
And obviously, you know, Destination Club is overly impacted by such a thing. So
yeah.
When we kind of got to the other side of it, by the time it's now, call it middle of 2009, we're trying to figure out what to do. The real estate had to all get marked to market. We were becoming underwater in a lot of ways that we were not previously accustomed to.
And that was, I mean, you're looking at, did you own the property? So can you explain just what Destination did and like what the concept of the business was?
Sure. Yeah. So Exclusive Resorts, we have, back at the time we sold a membership, it was on average, let's say $400,000. 80% of it was refundable when you would go on a list, similar to say a hedge fund.
Sure.
If there was nobody on the list, it was a gate to get out, you know, a couple in, one out, et cetera. And up until 2008, anytime anybody ever wanted out, they could get out whenever they want. And with Exclusive, you would pay dues. Let's just say they were $1,500 a night.
Mm-hmm.
And you would prepay them up front. And it was a very healthy, strong membership base. And the average person probably bought 30 or 40 days. It was a
right.
Nice subscription recurring revenue base. And so then 2008 hit. Mm-hmm. And Lehman Brothers files and everybody starts to want their money
awful,
back,
right?
As you can imagine.
Absolutely.
And so what happened was that we as a company had to now kind of change our business model. We couldn't be in acquisition mode anymore.
Right.
We couldn't be buying lots of new property.
Because you must have owned, I mean, a ton of real estate at that exact time.
Over $1 billion. And
wow.
We were building a lot of real estate as well.
What was your, so, I mean, I can only imagine going back, because that was a very scary time. And to be in the real estate game at that time must have been a ton of pressure. What was it like?
Well, there was no pressure until there was pressure,
right?
It was working great. And I was a reasonably young guy back then. And I thought real estate was awesome. We were using member money to be able to buy this portfolio. And it was great. And it was over $1 billion.
Wow.
But when that changed, obviously things changed. And so my challenge was, I was essentially running the company. I was president of the company. And I was the founder, and this was my baby, and I took great pride and a lot of self-esteem from being part of Exclusive Resorts and being the founder. And I found myself at odds with the billionaire. Essentially, he had one vision, and I had a different vision. And safe to say, his vision won out.
Right.
And so I sort of unceremoniously left the company that I had started at the end of 2009, and it was devastating.
I bet.
I mean, absolutely gut-wrenching to not be part of something that was really my whole
yours.
Life.
I mean,
yeah.
You had started it with your, now this was
with my brother.
Your brother.
Yeah,
okay.
And one other partner. And at that time, Steve had owned more than 50%. And like I said, we just didn't totally see eye to eye on the way to move forward. Now, remember, back in that time, it was just starting to become this thing about renting houses. And I was very passionate about, we should be doing more rentals. We should
right.
be doing more asset light, though asset light wasn't really a term.
Sure.
So at the end, we agreed that I would leave, and I had a 1-year non-compete.
And was that the differences you had, and you were thinking we should go more in that direction towards, you know, kind of that rental?
I would say mostly the differences were that Steve thought I was a pain in the ass.
Right.
Honestly, he thought that his vision was the right vision, and I felt like I had a different vision, and he controlled the company, and he thought, you know, I just don't need this sort of headache and chirping, which was certainly his right to be able to think that way. And so we just decided that it was time for me, after, call it 8 years of building that company, to leave. And like I said, it was devastating, but I was super motivated. So now it's January 1st, 2010. And I can remember, I was so excited to get to my brother's loft. He had a loft in Denver. My brother actually lives in Palo Alto, but I was so excited.
And you're from Denver. That's where you are.
And we're from Denver, and the company's based in Denver.
Right.
But I was so excited from my first day of work by myself that I got a speeding ticket driving to his loft. It's a true story.
Very few people get speeding tickets going to work. Usually it's coming from work.
Going to the first day of work.
Yes.
And at that time I realized, wow, like the infrastructure of Exclusive Resorts was real. How do I put this printer together? How do
sure.
I set up a mailbox? How do I set up an LLC? How do I do all these things that I had taken for granted? So remember, just in terms of the timeline now, it's January 1st, 2010. We didn't sell our first membership until January 1st, 2011. And remind me, I have a funny story about
sure.
that as well. It sort of weaves back in. So that was a very big challenge. And now it's January 1st, 2010. The world is still, actually, if you go back and look, the NASDAQ was even worse in 2010. It had another blip that went down.
It's incredible.
And I'm
yeah.
out trying to raise capital, which, safe to say, was remarkably difficult to raise capital. So my brother and I, similar to how we founded Exclusive Resorts, we started the company, we put our own capital in, which for me at the time was a lot of money.
So tell me about, because you're starting this new business, you leave this business that you really started, created, it just was a tough work situation, and you leave, you start your own business. Now, what was the difference with Inspirato and Exclusive? Because was it a similar concept? Was there any changes? What was it?
Well, in fairness, on January 1st, 2010, it was no concept. It was called, the concept was called unemployment. So I just wanted a place that was quiet
right.
to be able to go think about
sure.
what to do. I was motivated, but I didn't know what it was going to be. In fact, we wrote some business plans that would have been similar to what today we know as WeWork, a membership structure in corporate. We wrote some business plans around more affluent housing for this kind of baby boomer generation.
And yeah.
ultimately, we decided we would stick with what we know. And we tried to think about it holistically. holistically around how could we take all the things that really worked with exclusive resorts, but avoid all of the things that were big challenges. And of course, the big challenges with a structure like exclusive resorts are, number one, it's a big capital outlay. You're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars up front.
Sure.
Number two, you have all the ownership risk, which kind of goes up and down, and it's hard for that to coincide with an operating company,
yeah.
right? We've learned that with Hilton and others sure. that have sort of separated their operating business from their real estate business. And third, it was just the way in which traditional timeshares, destination clubs make you pre-buy all of your days up front. And so with Inspirato, we said, let's keep everything the same in terms of the customer experience, what we would call a member, but let's make it far less expensive. Inspirato cost $10,000 back then to join. It cost $20,000 to join okay. now. Let's have a nominal amount of dues. It was $2,500 a year back then. It's $3,600 a year now.
So you kept it relatively, I mean,
the
you know,
big difference
low cost.
Though is you pay for what you use in terms of travel. So you, Robert, might travel none 1 year, and the next year you might travel over Christmas and spring break, which are more expensive trips, but you then might take a trip, say, to Scottsdale in October, which would be less expensive. Typically with timeshares that use points and destination clubs that use days, you get availability constraints because people are trying to fix the system. And we said, forget about all that. Why don't we just use dollars? Let's just use actual dollars mm-hmm. and let people pay when they go. And everybody thought we were totally nuts for that. And the reason why is because how would you know how much real estate to have? Now, importantly, with exclusive resorts, when you owned the real estate, you controlled the rate, you controlled the experience,
right.
you controlled the interior, etc. So what we had to do, which had never been done before, today it's being done by companies like Sonder and
yeah.
others all of the time, but we would actually take risk. We will go to a house in Kiowa, to a house in Hawaii, to a house in Aspen, and we'll partner with the landlord, who may be a developer, it may be an individual, and we'll pay on essentially a triple net basis. We'll guarantee the owner of the asset income whether we're using the house or not. Now, by doing that, it allows us to have the same experience we were able to have with...
when you were owners.
It's actually a very yeah. similar concept to how hotels used to have to get branding agreements back, say, 20 or 30 years ago.
Right.
And what most people don't realize is we still put $150,000, $200,000 in every one of our houses to make sure that it fits up to our standards, our sheets, our kitchenware, oftentimes the furniture, etc. So we
right.
had to create that experience, but we didn't want to require the customer to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Got
we wanted
so
to
take
make
me back. Okay, so you're leaving. You leave obviously the first business, and you're back here. You have your office. You're by yourself. No concept. You float some ideas. Now comes a time where you finally figure out what you're going after. How are you feeling at that time? Are you a little worried that maybe this might not work?
Oh, I'm still worried it might not work. I mean, just like you, right?
Never changes.
We would vacillate between periods of extreme happiness and extraordinary despair,
yeah.
right? You think you're on top of the world and you think this new investor is coming in or this software is going to work or this lease is going to happen. And then you have a bad day, things turn on you. And that really hasn't changed much. But in 2010, while we were trying to figure this all out, it was incumbent upon us to go out and raise capital. And we raised, my brother and I put $1 million in, and we went out and raised another $10 million from friends and family. So really, we had $11 million to sort of get going in 2010. And that's what ultimately became Inspirato. But for example, Inspirato didn't have a name until a month before we launched.
So you were able to raise the capital just on you and your brother prior to even having a name or a concrete business plan?
I would say we were built, you know, the concrete was hardening on the business plan, but nothing really happened until, I would say, second quarter, and which is really when we went out and started to raise money. It was incredibly challenging to get this off the ground. The hardest part was, remember, when you have a non-compete, you're not allowed to sell, solicit, promote, but you can essentially prepare to compete.
Right.
So we had a year of preparing to compete with a billionaire on the other side who controlled the non-compete that we were making sure that we were in compliance with. So when we would talk, for example, to a landlord. This would be a conversation that would happen. We'd say, hello, landlord, we like your house in Aspen. We would love to rent it. And they would say, great, who's renting it?
Right.
And we would say, we can't tell you the name.
Right.
Because we can't.
So
that's
a challenge.
Right. So it's Brad and Brent Handler.
Yes.
And so it was a challenge until we got out into the real world, which was January 1st, 2011.
Yeah. And overcoming that challenge and talking about the challenge, which we started with, having a billionaire on the other side, starting this new business again that's very similar. Those 10 months, like, were you worried, like, you know, you're going to get lawyers calling you? Were you able to really focus and concentrate on building kind of the foundation of your business?
I would say it was a very challenging experience, to say the least. You know, I think it's a small market, relatively speaking, this, you know, high-end luxury vacation market, especially the way that Exclusive Resorts is set up. And we clearly wanted to make sure that we were in full compliance, which we were, but it was hard to both let the investment community know and let the real estate community know what we were doing while we were still in this non-compete. So, funny story.
This is the funny story you were going to tell me before?
Yeah, okay, this is the, then now we're going to
go make
full
sure
circle.
We got it.
Yeah, here it is. So it's January 1st, 2010. And we are getting prepared to launch. It's midnight, right? So now it's officially, you know, after New Year's Eve midnight. Right. The website, of course, doesn't work. Just like you'd write up in a book, or it doesn't work. We all have the big party. There's the big streamers. We're actually up in Vail. The website doesn't work. It finally gets to work sometime, let's call it 7 o'clock the next morning. And at that time, you could actually buy a membership online.
Okay.
We don't do that anymore, but you can buy a membership online. So
how come you don't do that?
It requires people to understand what they're buying.
Got it.
We thought it would be smart just to have it online. So very first transaction, Steve Case buys a membership online. So he was customer number one. But the best part was
that is fantastic.
And I'm sure eventually Steve will listen to this. But the best part is, and as true as the day is long, we had a house in Hualalai and it was $20,000 for Christmas week. And Steve, obviously, he's an astute technologist and he does all of his own stuff online. So he shops around, he looks at it, and he buys it. Only in our revenue management system, we dropped to zero. So he bought it for $2,000. So a $20,000 week over Christmas back then, he actually purchased for $2,000. And he kept
it. Did he actually go?
No, he was a good sport. He kept it. And I emailed him about 90 days prior and said, Steve, if you're not going to use it, can you give it back to us? And
he got us, whatever.
He actually is an Inspirato member and does travel with Inspirato and obviously travels with Exclusive Resorts. But
so you've kept a good relationship. Like, you've kept a good relationship with them, because it sounds like in most cases, and I've gone through it myself in similar situations with non-competes and, you know, anyone where I left, they're keeping an eye on you and they don't want you to succeed. But it seems like in this situation, while it was a challenge because you were adhering to your agreement, you know, it seems like Steve was actually, you know, not as bad as he could have been. And it seems like he actually was, in a way, kind of wishing you guys good luck. I don't know if you're going to put it like that, but
I mean, I think that I don't know how it would have worked out had I not left and, you know, started Inspirato. And I'll give you the whole story of Inspirato because we're only January 1st, 2011. But I'll give you another sort of boomerang about how Steve and I, our paths crossed again. And I'll explain that in a moment.
Okay, so we'll get to that.
Yes.
So let's start then. The website launches. Steve Case is your first client. Of course, when you're starting a business, especially you've taken money from friends, family, a lot of money, what's going on at that point for you? And what are your goals right away for, let's say, that first year?
Well, the one thing that I would say we did have confidence in. You had asked previously about, you know, worried and confidence and what did you think? We've always, going back to 2002, we've always believed that we had the best sales and marketing engine. We understood customers really well and that we would be successful in selling membership. So as soon as we launched in January, we obviously didn't have any data. We didn't have like a database or anything. But just because my brother and I were capable of getting some press, and because this was more of a tech kind of company, we actually got written up pretty extensively in the tech publications. We were able to, I don't want to get the numbers wrong, but I think in our first year, 2011, we did nearly $20 million in revenue. So we sold quite a few memberships sort of coming out of the gate. And we believed that we would have future growth, which we did, which allowed us to invest in the future and continue to essentially floor plan the portfolio with more properties than we would need. And we never had huge losses. We never really, we were able to get the cash flow dynamics of the business to work well. So it wasn't.
Was it because of the difference in the model now that you went from exclusive to Inspirato, where it was less of buying?
Right. And we were charging an initiation fee. And even at $10,000 up front, that initiation fee starts to add up when you're selling thousands of memberships, right? And people were paying for their travel. And in our model, when you book something, you pay for it right then.
Yeah.
So if you book something 10 months out, we're able to have
cash
working capital. So the business really worked well. And then
now also though, with the business, when you're starting it, like you said, what I've always noticed about you guys and the reason you were on my radar, you've done a phenomenal job with the marketing. Nowadays, social marketing, public relations, how big of a part was the fact you were able to do that? How big of a part did that play in really getting your business off the ground initially? Like you said, $20 million, that's a lot. Was that a major driver?
Not in the beginning.
Interesting.
Not in the beginning of Inspirato. You know, really, I would say social has only become important in our business from a customer acquisition standpoint in the last few years, even digital completely. I would say it was mostly word of mouth in the beginning. And once we sort of got to a critical mass, let's call it 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 members, you get to that stage in an affluent market and you start to become kind of the thing.
Yeah, it's that's a small group of people and they talk.
And then what really helped us was by the time we get to 2012, 2013, now we're on the radar with that level of growth, really high level of very low churn, high retention rate. We caught the attention of Kleiner Perkins.
More from our guest, but first, a word from our sponsors. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially for small businesses. You don't have the time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations. And old school payroll providers just aren't built for the way you work today. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy to get things right. And why is Gusto better than the other guys? Well, PC Mag and Fit Small Business have called Gusto the best payroll for small businesses. Gusto also makes payroll a breeze. In fact, 9 out of 10 users say Gusto is easier to use than other payroll solutions. Gusto saves you time. 72% of customers spend less than 5 minutes to run payroll. Don't believe it? Just Google them. People love Gusto. How often do you actually love your payroll provider? That is true. So, most small businesses don't have an HR expert, but you don't need one to use Gusto. With great software and great service, you can focus on your business, not payroll and paperwork. And you no longer have to be a big company to get great technology, great benefits, and great services for your team. So, to help support the show, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive, limited-time deal. Sign up today, and you'll get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/HSH.
And our next sponsor.
For business owners, saving time is everything, because each minute saved can be put back into growing your business. So when you need a business loan, U.S. Bank makes the process quick and convenient. Meet with a banker or apply from anywhere with a simple and secure online application and get a decision in minutes. Save time with U.S. Bank so you can get back to what you do best, running your business. Apply today at usbank.com/fundmybusiness. Credit products offered by U.S. Bank National Association, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back.
So up until that point with Kleiner Perkins, and I imagine also you had the economy was getting better, starting to grow, but up until that point, before Kleiner Perkins, the only capital you had in the business was your own, and then the money you had raised, the $10 million you had raised.
That's correct.
And how do you catch the eye of Kleiner Perkins?
They were interested in a membership. There was somebody named Chi-Hua Chen, who was former partner at Kleiner Perkins, and it was a fantastic story. He contacted me directly and was interested in Inspirato, but ultimately kind of decided he didn't want to do it. And then he was on a vacation with his family, and I think it was either in San Diego or Orange County, I can't remember. He showed up at an Airbnb, and the Airbnb was under construction. There was live drywall when he showed up, and he called me and asked if we could help him get out of a bind, and we helped him get out of a bind. And then he said, okay, I think I want to talk about your model. I think I understand this service and certainty and consistency for the affluent traveler isn't quite there yet with an Airbnb. And the whole process took 2 or 3 weeks, and we got a term sheet and closed with Kleiner Perkins. They've been awesome. We also had then, very shortly after, IVP, another major blue chip late stage investor, came on board. And now we had capital to be able to really grow kind of for
the first time. That what at that point, and for our audience, I mean, Kleiner Perkins, they're the probably most well-known name, I would imagine, in VC, or one of them. So you have them on board. Is it the capital? What plays a part in the growth of Inspirato? Is it more the capital? Is it more their relationships? What did they actually do for you that really was able to catapult the business?
Well, remember, so now we're talking, it's 2012, 2013, and they become our partner. They give us capital. When you have the capital, it's half of it is spending the capital, and half of it is having the confidence that you know you have the capital. So it's really you're getting leverage from just having money in the bank, just the way you think. And one of the things very early on that helped us, because we still had very, very low brand recognition, this is, call it 2013, Ted Schlein on my board introduced me to the folks at American Express. So he had asked me, he said, if you could have one partner in the world, who would it be?
And is that American Express because of their travel arm, their experience arm?
Trust.
Or, yeah.
Trust. When you think about American Express, you think about they've got my back. They understand travel. They understand luxury.
Yep.
So it was incredible, really. He said, well, they're doing an offsite in our office. And their executive team, if you want to go meet, you know, Ken Chenault, he's going to be there.
Wow.
And so they put me in touch with the folks at American Express. And for several years, we had a branding agreement with American Express. It was very unusual.
Yeah,
where
how did
we
that
actually
work?
We used their brand in our brand. So we were Inspirato with American Express.
Got it.
And that was a 3-year partnership. And that helped us.
Sure. Credibility-wise, I imagine at that point.
It was not inexpensive.
Right.
But it was worth it because it built up the base in a real defensible manner.
And did they market your services to their members?
Correct, right. We had a very extensive co-marketing agreement. We had a branding agreement. It worked really, really well. And then it was time for both of us to kind of part ways.
Sure.
And we wanted the Inspirato brand to become more important and
You've
more
kind
standalone.
Of outgrown the outgrown partnership.
But they were great partners and continue to be great partners of ours. You know, vast majority of our charge volume is still on American Express. So that was another thing that had really helped us. And then I'm not great with
timeline numbers. We're moving pretty good though, I think.
Somewhere in there. I want to say it's maybe 14.
Yep.
Maybe 13. It's either 13 or 14. I can't remember.
So isn't it amazing as an entrepreneur? I guess everyone in life, though, it's just like years just like blend in. It's so amazing to me trying to put things together in that, because you're just so immersed in like this business and it's everything to you. And all of a sudden it's like trying to go back and remember it. It's very difficult.
It's very difficult. But you know, the businesses were similar. And what's funny, what's interesting is Exclusive Resorts is exactly 3 blocks away from Inspirato. And so there's so many employees that worked at one, work at another. I'll see somebody walking down the 16th Street Mall in Denver. I honestly don't know which company they work for.
Right.
I just know they work for one of them.
Right.
Or they did
they
work
don't even
for
know if they're working for
or,
you.
Or they did work for one of them. So
that's kind of cool because it's such a small community. And in Denver, you know, it's a big city, but like where there's a small downtown, like I'm sure you're seeing these people all the time. And it's just so funny how Denver's kind of become the capital of these types of like luxury escapes.
Well, because of us,
right?
I mean, obviously because of us. So there's, you know, like right on the 16th Street Mall, we employ 600 people in Denver.
Wow.
And exclusive resorts, probably, I'm not sure how many they have. Let's call it close to a couple hundred. So talking about 800 people in a 3-block radius.
Yeah.
So there's
doing
a lot.
Doing the same thing, doing a lot, same business.
Let's just say wealthy people's travel is sort of the epicenter is in Denver, Colorado.
Know.
Yeah. But anyway, so sometime in, call it 13 or 14, actually in 12 exclusive resorts after sort of saying Inspirato would never work and that would be crazy and who would do that and why would, they decided that they were going to do it too. So they launched a company called Portico. Can't remember when, but I want to say it's in 12 or early 13. And Portico essentially is a less expensive version of Inspirato,
right,
but inside the mothership of exclusive resorts. And as we all know that have built businesses and tried to incubate businesses inside of bigger businesses, it's very challenging, right? Because you have a resource constraint and then there's always this risk of cannibalization. So fast forward to the second interesting story that I said I would get back to. Steve and I...
Did you call up and become the first member of Portico?
No, I did not call up and become the first member of Portico, but we have lots of Portico members that are now part of Inspirato and exclusive resorts members that are part of Inspirato because we bought
Portico. Well, tell us the story. You bought Portico, but what's the story going back to the story you're about to tell?
Well, the story I'm about to tell is I think, you know, Steve's a super sophisticated technology investor, and technology investors start out with, I'm going to kill them.
Right.
And then if that doesn't work, they say, I'm going to buy them.
Yes.
And then if that doesn't work, they say, I will merge with them.
Yes.
And, you know, I think we ended up in the, I'm going to sell to them, basically. So
they started that business.
They started
They must have had some issues. And then you guys came in and kind of rescued
everybody's,
and bought them.
Everybody's business is a lot harder when you have to run it. And I think that Steve made the choice that, you know, I'd rather have these guys run this type of business. Let me run my type of business.
Did that kind of make you feel, because you told me at the beginning that, you know, the reason you guys split, there were challenges, personality, and he was kind of, you know, annoyed with you, which I love that because as an entrepreneur, you want, that means you're out there, you're doing stuff, you're not just sitting back. But did that make you feel a little better that at that point he kind of came to you and said, you worked on a merger together and you were back to running the business again?
Yeah, I'd say a little bit. I mean, just back to the original breakup, in fairness to Steve, it's amazing it took him that long to get rid of me, honestly. Like, I'm incapable of working for others.
Right.
I can't do it.
I get it.
And so like, you know, if he would say left, I would say right. If he would say up, I would say down. It almost didn't even matter. And it wasn't personal. It was more structural. I'm just not meant to be in that structure. So now it's time to kind of deal with the Portico situation.
Sure.
And Portico feelings and things don't really matter. It's ultimately, did it make sense for them and did it make sense for us? I think it made sense for them for the obvious reasons. For us, Exclusive Resorts has incredible properties that they own.
Yeah.
And they became our landlord for many
That's
of those
great.
Properties. So we were able to acquire lots of inventory. And then part of that deal was a reciprocity for Exclusive Resorts members to be able to use Inspirato, transferring in their prepaid days. Remember I said you buy a day, it's called $1,500.
Yeah.
Now some of that they can use and transfer for Inspirato, which has a much broader portfolio. For example, we have hotels all over the world.
Right, I saw you guys now have hotels. It's not just luxury homes.
It's not just homes, right? So it ended up being, I think, very good for them and very good for us.
Yeah, it sounds like a complete win-win.
Yeah, and they have a seat on our board. And so it's one of those strange bedfellows things, right, that happens sometimes in tech companies or other types of companies where we compete somewhat. Not really that much, but then we're also partners in a lot of things.
It happens in so many industries.
So it's kind of happened in ours, yeah.
Okay, so you get to the point, now is it an acquisition or is it a merger? How did the idea?
It's an acquisition. Okay. I mean, we took their employees that were part of Portico. We ingested that business inside of our business. There is no more Portico.
So their employees just like walked down the street like a
literally,
few blocks and...
Literally, walk down there, and then like a couple weeks later, walk down with a box with all their stuff. I mean, I'm not dead serious. That's exactly how it works.
I love that. So, okay, so that transpires. And take me through, because what you guys have become today and just seeing how much you have grown, how does that take place over the next 4 to 5 years?
So I think of my career thus far in chapters, and I sort of think of them in, you know, four chapters, really. Chapter number one, just got me to exclusive resorts. I learned enough working for other people and having an experience with my own startup when I was very young that failed.
Yeah, tell me about that, because so many, like, you look at yourself now and had a lot of success. I love the fact, I'm sure you know, you've learned from it, that you really started out, raised money, and you failed.
Yeah, I mean, I just go back to the very beginning. You know, I started out, I worked for Xerox right after school. I did after that.
Were you selling copiers door to door?
Yep.
Then
I went after that, I invested some of my own money and worked for a computer training company back when people actually couldn't do Word and Excel. Things like, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, like, when you say that out loud. Like, this wasn't even done on a computer. This was like classes, instructor-like classes. And then sold that business. We made a very, very small amount of money, which I burned all in my next startup, which was trying to compete with WebEx, and didn't do a very good job of it. And then I found myself completely unemployed. And that was very
scary. And that was the business that failed. And then you were unemployed at 34.
And that's when my brother and I started Exclusive Resorts.
And is that chapter two?
So everything up to starting Exclusive Resorts is chapter one.
Okay.
The day that I sat down with my wife and said, I think I want to do this again. And she's like, what do you mean again?
We just went through this.
We just lost a bunch of money. The unemployed means get employed. That's like the definition of unemployed. You just get rid of the un and then it's employed.
Did you have kids at the time too?
Oh yeah. We had two.
Because that's a whole different story as an entrepreneur when it's you, even your wife, but then you have kids. And I always thought, you know, I was glad I started my first business at like 23 or 24. And fortunately, I was successful. But so many people I have so much respect for who go and start a business in their 30s or 40s, and they don't have backing or money, and they've got mouths to feed. And I mean, that to me takes a lot of balls.
Yeah, I'm not probably short in that category. Like, I just don't see risk probably the way others do. I'm able to put that aside. But coming off of this big loss through the dot-com failure, raising money, being the CEO, having to, you know, tell people that I lost their
money. That's the hardest. I mean, like, to me, to be able to do that,
it's hard.
It's almost like, you know, I always equate it to like these cornerbacks in the NFL who they get burnt on a touchdown, but they're able to come back. Yeah. And only because they're able to come back and say, I know I can do this.
Short memory.
Do they ultimately become successful?
Yeah, short memory. So, you know, if you get to chapter two, that's Exclusive Resorts. That's 2002 to 2010, right? End of 2009. Now we're at Inspirato. Let's call Inspirato 2010 to 11 is the non-compete era. 11 to, let's call it halfway through 19 is chapter number three. And now let's start talking about chapter number four, which I'm super excited about and just started literally in the middle of July.
Tell me about it.
So Exclusive Resorts taught me a bunch about what people really like and don't like about luxury travel. Inspirato, I was able to take that information and build upon it. And what happens a lot of the time is you come up with one idea, which is prepay, very heavy focus, everything up front. And then you go to, and in this case, asset light, where it's more pay as you go. And so I'd say over the last, call it 4 years, I've been nothing short of obsessing around an idea for subscription travel.
Right. I mean, every other business is
every other business is doing it. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't
or
make sense.
Spotify or,
and it makes sense that subscription travel would become a thing. And so at the beginning of the year, this year, after a couple of failed attempts within Inspirato to have a subscription, I told David Callery, our president, who really runs the operational part of our business, I said, I'm going to build a small team, strategy team, and I'm not leaving my office until I figure out with this team how we can create what I was referring to as a premium subscription-only offer. And we worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And it was very difficult. We could never come
and
through.
And subscription just meaning you pay one price
and
you don't pay anything else.
That's right.
And you get to travel where you want to travel.
So we ended up coming up with this concept, which is available today for purchase. It's called Inspirato Pass. It's endless travel for $2,500 a month with no nightly rates, taxes, or fees. The elegance and simplicity of it has really been successful. But the reason it's successful is because we built proprietary technology that we're getting a patent on that allows us to use essentially what amounts to a list-based system. So we built an algorithm where we take our own inventory plus third-party inventory. It could be a cruise, it could be a hotel, and we basically ping those suppliers and say, because we're totally opaque, we don't tell anybody the price. It's a
right.
subscription.
So for them, it's great because if you're a supplier, you're, you know, Four Seasons or any hotel, because it's a subscription model, they don't have to worry about consumers being like, hey, how'd this guy get a room for $299 or
right.
whatever it might
so,
be.
So that's a huge,
that's yeah.
massive deal in hospitality. Price integrity.
Sure.
is a really big deal.
Yeah.
And so the hotels that would matter, the luxury five-star hotels, they have best available rate pricing and everybody has to have the same price. Now they'll discount to suppliers, but those suppliers have to still charge retail.
Yeah, because you'll never, if you go on hotels.com or any of these, you'll never see
hotels.
Right. And,
right.
And you won't, if you do, there's never a big spread or difference. And
that's
if
right.
you're calling the hotel, you're getting that's the same
right.
price.
So what I tried to figure out was how could we create a mechanism where it's win-win-win. It's win for the supplier, whether it's
right.
a hotel, a cruise line, because they're getting high quality guests that they can now, they have inventory to fill. They can now do it without having to show anybody the price.
Perfect.
It's great for the consumer because they're getting more value. And it's great for Inspirato because we can build this subscription base, which is stickier, which is more valuable,
right.
which is just sort of a better business. So when you look at Inspirato Pass currently, as of the time that we're having this conversation, there's 80,000 trips. By the time I'm sure this will air, there will be many more than 80,000 trips. And it's all sortable and it's all searchable. So for example, if you're a pass holder and you wanted to travel to New York next week or Hawaii in 3 weeks or Tuscany or London in 5 weeks, there's 133 destinations to choose from. And it really is as simple as look, book, stay, repeat. It's you make a reservation. The day that you check out of that reservation, you can make your next reservation. And you can make your next reservation as early as 1 week from that day.
So you can, anytime if you're a member, you can make a reservation. Once you go on that trip, 1 week after, you're able to then book another trip.
No, you actually can make the reservation the day you check out for travel as early as 1 week
oh, gotcha.
From the day you check out.
So you can continuously just
you have to have 1 week out. You have to have 1 week in between, but we also sell a pass too.
Okay.
We've sold hundreds and hundreds of them.
Right.
Where people buy, they have two active reservations at the same time. So essentially, if you worked really hard, you could spend a lot of time in Inspirato properties.
I mean, it's incredible. But how, in terms of the business plan and making money off of that, how are you guys able to succeed? Is it hoping that people aren't traveling too much? Is it
no? It's really a great model. Sometimes when you do this sort of thing, you just get lucky and you figure out a few things in a model or in a process for building a startup that just work in your favor that you didn't totally understand would work in your favor. But the reason it works so well is because the suppliers are so aggressive about giving us value. So just use simple math. If somebody sells you something for $500 that's worth $1,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're only paying the $500 for it, immediately you can show the pass holder the $1,000 worth of value. So even if pass holders are using it all of the time, there's still opportunity for us to be able to make money on the subscription.
Right.
Because whenever you're, you know, it's the perceived value versus cost.
Right.
So what's happening is that the pass holders have high perceived value. We have low cost, and the subscription actual price is somewhere in the middle. And there's a way for us to be able to make that work. The other thing that works is 1 week in between. 1 week in between, if so you travel 10 times, by definition, there's 70 days that are not being used.
Right.
And those 70 days that aren't being used, plus being able to get leverage on the supply side, really works. So just in simple terms, we start for chapter four for this, you know, for my
yeah.
career, we start in July. In 90 days, that business on a standalone basis is material, growing, and every day we're selling many hundreds of thousands of dollars of subscription
revenue.
And this
just launched in July 2019.
Yeah, so it's not quite 3 months old.
Do you think you hit on it with this idea?
So I think this is a great idea. I know it's a great idea. It's working. We have a lot of customers, and they're very, very happy. What I think the better opportunity, though, is not just Inspirato Pass in its current format. We're going to continue to add experiences. One day, there's going to be cruises. There's going to be suites at basketball games. There's going to be meet and greets. There's going to be golf experiences. There's going to be all types of things that are available with your pass. But we're very bullish on subscription, travel, and entertainment. So we think that the category of subscription travel and entertainment is going to grow, and that we have a great head start in being able to be a leader in that. And so it won't always be for what I would consider, obviously the high net worth. It's $30,000 a year, discretionary. I mean, that's real money. It's a one percenter. But, and we're not going to be, it's not going to be $19 a month.
Yeah, right.
But you can see scenarios where our total addressable market will 10x what it is today. And it's obvious that travel and other experiences should be available for consumption in a subscription. It's perishable and it is time specific.
So will your model for the experiences and these add-ons, would that be like add-on cost, or is it still part of the subscription price?
No, everything always is going to be part of the subscription cost. There's no concept of add-on cost.
Right.
It's just that there could be different subscriptions.
Higher levels, sure.
There could be, this could be the high end, and then there might be a local subscription. There might be a sports and entertainment only subscription.
Right.
There could be a subscription. Subscription in a city just for sporting events.
It's the Netflix of luxury travel,
which is really like in the press that we've been getting. Yeah, people call it the Netflix of travel.
So what's chapter five in the little time we have left?
Oh boy, there's no chapter five. I turned 51 next month. There's no chapter five professionally.
Yeah,
I really do enjoy this. It's the best job and the best career, and it's the most fun. And we've built a great team. We've got a great base of members and pass holders, and I just can't imagine, really wanting to do anything else. What would a great outcome for chapter four look like? Obviously, we have aspirations to be important on an international stage. We want people to be thinking about Inspirato the way that you would think about Airbnb, or the way you would think about Peloton, other businesses that have kind of created a category. Connected fitness, what is that?
Right.
It's Peloton.
Right.
They created the entire category. And so, and not only did they create the category, but it's a winner take most sort of structure. Travel's obviously a much larger industry than fitness. So I wouldn't say that I'm unrealistic and think that we can be the winner take most in travel, but I think take most in subscription travel, especially luxury subscription travel and entertainment. So we're really high on the current business of Inspirato. It just has gotten more fun over time. Now, do I still wake up in the middle of the night and worry? And do I still think that we're not successful? And do
but
you,
that's in your DNA. No matter who you are, Steve Case or whoever, or if you're an entrepreneur and you're a gritty entrepreneur, like, doesn't matter. You're always going to wake up like that. But that's part of what makes you successful.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I said success is selling 20 passes today, and we sold 20 passes today, I would immediately say, how come we didn't sell 30?
Right.
Right? It's just the way that you're wired.
It works. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It was fun. Thanks.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to How Success Happens wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Wednesday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And if you like to share, please feel free to pass along the show to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost, and I could always use the subscribers. And do you have ideas for guests? I always love to hear about great entrepreneurs. If you know anyone, shoot me an email at hsh@entrepreneur.com or on Twitter at Robert Tuchman, that's RobertTuchman, or even send me a message on LinkedIn. How Success Happens is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for insight on building your business, or even better yet, subscribe to our magazine. No joke, I found my first job after reading about a company in Entrepreneur Magazine back in the 1990s. It's always been my absolute favorite magazine for entrepreneurs. Thanks for listening and spending some time with me today. Until next time, my name is Robert Tuchman, just a fellow entrepreneur and your host. See you soon.